Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you are having a wonderful day. Don't know when you'll be listening to this sermon. Maybe it is sometime during this weekend, or maybe it'll be this week, or maybe it may be in the future. Only God knows who will listen to this, and He's God, so we just lift it up to Him. But if you're not having, if you're going through something in your life that is rattling you, we will have trials in this life. I pray that you take that trial, that challenge, and give it to Jesus by faith. Lift His name above any of the circumstances that you are feeling the sting, the flame of. And to keep walking in that path that leads to everlasting, eternal, that's eternal, everlasting life. We are supposed to be soldiers walking in the light, walking more in the Spirit, getting out of the way and letting God have, well, He's going to have His way anyway, but surrendering that thing that we're going through, that challenge, that trial that we're going through to Him. The title of this message for this week, or whenever you may listen to this, maybe this sermon may find somebody's ear 5 years from now, who knows? But the title is, "You Will Have Trials in This Life." That's the title. The key passage here is in Daniel 3, 1 through 30. That is Daniel 3, 1 through 30. We're going to read all of that. That's a lot of reading, of course. If you follow this ministry, or maybe it's the first time you're listening to this, our opinions are what they are. Scripture is the final authority. We, as true men of God, should validate everything we say through the Scripture and not our opinion. If you have a preacher that doesn't do that, then you need to correct him. If he doesn't heed correction, then you need to leave that church, because validation of Scripture is a key. Man can be flawed. We are flawed. There is one God, one truth, and we should walk in that light. So Daniel 3, 1 through 30, that's I'll be reading, usually read from the King James Version, which I'm thinking about maybe start reading from a different translation, just to, I guess, mix it up a little bit. But I have quite a few different translations. I'm partial to the King James because it's just what I grew up in the church with. So I kind of, like, a lot of scriptures I memorize are in the old, well, the King James Version. So you'll hear me say ye and thy and this habit. A lot of scriptures I've memorized is from the King James Version. So Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then and Herod cried out loud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet and flute, harp, susper, the psalter, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, all that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the susper, the saucer, and all kinds of music, and all the people, the nation, and the language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Therefore, that time, certain charlatans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the susper, the saucer, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down, worship, that he shall be cast in the midst of this burning furious fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not regard thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, saucer, and the saucer, and the dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of this burning, fearing furnace. And whom is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his Versal changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and he commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments were cast in the midst of the burning fiery fire, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was singing hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? Then answering said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no harm, and no form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the prince, the governors, the captains, the king, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon their bodies of fire have no power, nor was a hair on their head sown, neither were their coats changed, or the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him. And I have changed the king's word and yield thy bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak any thing amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made of dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come to you, breathing in, breathing out all the things that we will experience, are experiencing right now in our life. We may not have the answer for why. In reality, we will ask. In reality, you don't have to answer. You are God, we are not. But within those challenges, those trials, it's very important for us to lean on Scripture. For truth radiates through the pages of your Bible. It is a living Word of God. It is a light in our path. And those points, it's critical to stay rooted in your word and your promises, knowing that you are a God who keeps all of his promises. We know of you who, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says here in your holy scripture, we know our God can deliver us, but if not, paraphrasing of course, it's all well. For they knew their home is not of this world. The pain that we have to experience in this life is only a short period compared to what God has prepared for those that who love him and that keeps pressing on to the end. Matthew 23:13 says, those that endure to the end will be saved. God, as we go into this sermon that you've laid on my heart to preach, let the ears be receptive to the message, regardless how hard points may be. For many, especially here in America, the churches are catering to a compromise of biblical truths because they don't want to offend anybody. But as men of God, we are supposed to be true to God's word regardless how hard some of the messages can be. We still stand firm on your word. If it causes us to lose our job as in that church, so be it. when we stand before you one day, we have to answer, as all of us, for what you have laid on our heart to preach and teach. And those that reject it, they will have to stand before you one day to give an explanation. I don't think they will be able to when they're staring at you. Lord, I pray that they are truly yours. If not, then they will be cast in a fire that they will not get deliverance from forever and ever. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Now, the title of this message is, you will have trials in this life. I don't know if this will be a part two on this. The reason I say that is, it's probably going to be a pretty long message. I would love to preach it all the way through, but our Wi-Fi and connection here. So if I go over usually an hour, or say if I go an hour and 30 minutes, we just have bad internet over out here in the country. So it takes for a while for it to upload on the website. So if I go 2 hours, it'll probably, I don't want to run the risk that I can't upload it. So a lot of times I have to half it. So if I know if I'm going to go into about 2-3 hours of preaching, which I easily can do, even possibly 4 hours of preaching, I can do that in one sitting. I have no problem with that. I have that passion and fire. The problem is most churches, especially in my area, they want a 15-20 minute sermon, and then they want to go and live like the devil the rest of the week. I don't get invited to a lot of churches to preach. First thing is, I will tell somebody, I do not limit God's word. I do not limit the move of the Holy Spirit. If he wants me to preach 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, I am going to preach it. If the clock is bothering you, you need to take it and throw it out. If your watch is bothering you, you need to take it off and put it in your whatever, your car, leave it in your car. We are here to serve God, not serve ourselves. And that's what it is. The church today is more, they want to be served instead of serving. They want to be entertained than humbling their hearts. And I speak of the churches here in America. The devastation of it is rattling, and I don't see them coming out of it. I know that's controversial, but it's what it is. So, this historical account of Daniel. So, I'm probably going to maybe make this two parts. That's what I was getting at. And the lukewarmness of American churches is disgusting. It grieves my spirit to look at it. I believe God is trying to get America's attention, the churches. They're not heeding it. That's it. So what is going to happen? I think we're going to experience a lot of a dark period, darker than what COVID ain't going to be compared to what's coming on America. Strap your seatbelts on, guys. Get in church. Get involved. Don't limit God's messenger. Let him preach how long God has placed on his heart to preach. So this historical account in Daniel, I don't know if you guys ever read Daniel. It's a very, it's an awesome read, as a lot of the prophets are. I love reading through the major prophets and the minor prophets. And when I say major prophets and minor prophets, I'm talking about the major prophets, the length of the writings. The writings are longer, so your Daniel is going to be a longer book, while your minor prophets, like Malachi, they're shorter chapters, or shorter, you know, not as many pages. So doesn't mean one's less important than the other. Daniel is a long read if you read through it, and if you study it, it's a long study. Been all through Daniel, studying it through the years. But this historical account, we have Nebuchadnezzar. He is a king. He is a king currently over Babylon. What we know about the history of Babylon, it was an immensely powerful kingdom at this time. And Nebuchadnezzar is over it. Now, before we got to 3, I encourage you to go back and read. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel interprets that dream for him when no other people could. When Daniel did this, Daniel gained favor with the king. And of course, Daniel requests Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be placed over affairs of the provinces of Babylon. So here you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are, we read here in Daniel 3, they are over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And Daniel's placed in a position of power for the king to matter affairs beyond the province. So what is believed, that's why Daniel was not around. He was most believe that he was off, he was out of town doing king's business. It's kind of like when if somebody was planning churches, the person would be at that church, set up the church, and then put men in charge of that church. And then he would go off and go and do other things while they were in charge. So so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the picture here. And they're about to experience a trial from God. And we get these trials through life. And not all of them are a testing. Sometimes we go through trials of our own, our own fault, maybe grieving the Holy Spirit. But this was a trial for them. Now, God already knew how this is all going to unfold. He is, that word we say, sovereign, meaning he, simply putting, he knows the beginning from the end. But we got to keep in mind, who was watching all of this? Who will see this? The point is that uncomfortableness for us. We have to be uncomfortable sometimes for God to use us, right? And for others to see that happening to us and how we are responding to that uncomfortableness. A lot of times we want to get in the way. And we want to ask God, why is this happening and why is this going on? But instead of asking that, we should ask ourselves, how is God using this for His greater good? Not mine, but His will be done, and not mine. So we got Nebuchadnezzar here. He has a statue made of gold. The statue, believe it, it was 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Kind of help you get a picture of the height of this statue. Think of a, telephone pole, electrical pole. You take two of those telephone poles and a half of one. And if you would stack each one on top of each other, that would get you a rough estimate about how tall this statue was built. And it was built on the plain of Dura, which was a flat, thick, you could think of an airport that is very level, not a lot of hills or valleys. So the statue would be seen for miles upon miles. And we know Nebuchadnezzar, he is very prideful. He's very proud of his stature. He's getting all as many people involved, officials, to clap their hands and to give him praise. If you think of something today, if somebody's trying to get as much as they can involved, say if it's just in a city, say if it's a statue that's being built in memory of some official that may have been in the past, if this is the mayor, he won't to have somebody that's in the House of probably the representative, even somebody from the Senate, he or she would want if they could get any kind of local news source to come out there and film it, if they could possibly get all your big networks like Fox News, CNN, NBC, which I don't watch none of those news sources because they don't truly, I don't believe, truly report on the truth. Especially CNN and CBS, NBC, but they would get all these, as much coverage as they could to report this, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing here. He is getting as many people as he can to praise and worship what he has built, and he wants worship, Nebuchadnezzar. He wants music, and he wants this music to be heard as loud as possible, and he wants everybody to fall down and worship this golden image. And his gods are their gods, right? And if those that refuse, they will be cast into this furnace. It would have been an open furnace, but it was hot. The goal of not following the king's commandment would be to die. There's your options. So it'd been an open furnace, so they could have been from a distance looking at people burning and screaming as they throw them in this fire. So here comes the music, and here comes the worship, and get this, if you are a child of God, you are walking in the path that God has had laid out for you. You will have enemies. Do not think you will not have no enemies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were no difference. They were placed in a political kind of atmosphere, and they, even though they were in politics, they are in a political, the provinces over the affairs, so it's easy to point. They were in a political position. They did not compromise, though. That's the difference to our politics today. Politicians, they compromise. Not all of them, but vast majority compromise their self in Christ. They are not going to compromise who they are in God, because God came first in their life. But you got the physical enemies, right? And physical enemies is, of course, being controlled by the spiritual enemies, and you can find that in Ephesians 6, right? And they're pulling the strings of the physical, and so we will have enemies around us. And Shadrach, Meshach was no excuse, or no, they had enemies. And of course, the enemies were watching. They seen that the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not bowing down to the image, because why? They served the one true living God and no other gods. And they go and they tell Nebuchadnezzar, hey, these guys over here, they're not bowing down. They're not worshiping. They're not praising your image. And that immediately, Nebuchadnezzar, he's in rage. You can say he had anger issues. We can say he had pride issues. And he commands for them, bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him, because he's going to question him. But he does not like what he hears. I want to tell you, this world will not like to hear what we have to tell them when we stand boldly on God's word. Daniel 3, let's listen to verse 16 through 18. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What are they saying? They said, we're going to lay it straight out for you, bro. You ain't going to like it, but we're going to tell you this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this, from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee. Meaning, he can, if he he doesn't, that's fine. He said, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. We, even though we may die, it's not a guarantee, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God will deliver us from that physical torment or death. And could you imagine being burned alive? That is what they're facing here. If you ever camp and you have a fire, and I used to camp a lot when I was a kid, and you got your hands over the fire, if you get your hands too close, they start burning, and what do? You pull them away. Fire can be hot. You have the option to pull away from that fire. See, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were going to be cast into this fire because they were not going to compromise. They didn't have an option. Well, they did have an option. They could have said, we're going to bow. But they don't. Because those that are truly his have counted the cost. They're all in, regardless of what life brings them. So when they answer the king this way, the king is, he is fully enraged now. And he has this fury fire, this furnace, heated up 7 times more than normal. When you do your research on this, most, what I could find, it was about 1,000 degrees, 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and that is hot. He has Shadrach, Meshach bound. He has his mighty man. I love how it says mighty man. Just not any man. His toughest. His cream of the crop. To bring Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And to cast them in this fire. And they, the mighty man here, are disintegrated. God is proving he is God. And when you look at this historical account, it's amazing how God operates. He is showing that he is more mighty than the mighty man of this king who thinks he is God. That who thinks that the gods that he served is greater than the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve. And he is going to be proven wrong. These men, they disintegrate him. So here's, they're in this fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's probably happy, you know. But then when he looks, remember, it's an open furnace. And he sees is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're walking in this fire. And he sees a fourth. Verse 24 says, and then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose and up haste. I mean, he hurried up and he spoke and he was saying to his counselors, did we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered the king, "True, O king." Verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no harm. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And what he's talking about, he's trying to compare what he's seeing to his gods. I want to tell you, he don't know how to compare what he's seeing. So he's trying to, with his limited knowledge of comparing what he is seeing there, it is our God. I believe here this is the pre-incarnated Christ in the fire with him. And he don't know what to say, but then he calls them out. And guess what? They walk out of this fire. Not a hair on their hair, not a hair on their head is burned. Their clothes don't even smell like fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was delivered from a physical death. God was proving a point that God can deliver his children. And he was also proving to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they knew if they were going to die, they were going to go home. They were okay with that. For we are just passing through this world. There's nothing in this world that makes me comfortable. The comfort that lies is what's waiting for me in the next life. For I long for heaven and going home every day. I get homesick all the time. But God keeps me here as he keeps others. For whatever reason he has ordained. But here, Nebuchadnezzar, he acknowledges that his gods are below the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their God is mighty and greater than anything that he has known. And he makes this creed or this thing saying no, that, and we can read that last part here. 29 says, "Therefore I may decree," that's Nebuchadnezzar, "a decree that every people, nation, and language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, and because there is no other God that can deliver this sort." Amen. When we look as children of God, we can draw strength from the Bible, and we can draw strength from this historical account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But before I go on, I want to encourage anyone, if you're new listening to this, this is the first time you're hearing this. Last week I preached on salvation. The Holy Spirit laid it on my heart to preach on salvation last week. So go back and listen to that message. You need to know if you are a child of God and what it means to be saved. And of course, that's not the only salvation message I've preached on that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. There's tons of salvation messages. That's the easiest one to find right now. So you can swing that. You can go throw down from this one and click it and listen to it. I want to tell you, and take your Bible out, write the scriptures down. If you don't like what I'm saying, just write the scriptures down, go back to the scriptures, and come to your own conclusion. If you're saying, "No, I don't want to hear this, I don't like what he's telling me, I don't care about going to the Bible," then you reject Jesus. He is not your Father, and your father is the devil, and he is a father of lies. I don't care if that upsets you and you want to call yourself a Christian. You keep calling yourself Christian till you're blue in the face. When you die, you will not go to heaven. You will burn in hell, and you will not like that right now. But one day, if you want to reject it and reject what this man of God is telling you, then that's on you. It breaks my heart, but I know through many passages in Matthew 7 is one I quote a lot. Is about, there's a lot of things in Matthew 7, but in paraphrasing, is that narrow way and that wide way. Narrow way leads to everlasting life. Jesus said, "Few will find it," meaning few. When you look at few, that's not many. You want to break down the Greek? Go ahead. You'll find out few is not a lot. And when he speaks of the wide, look at many. Go down to the Greek. Break it down. Do your own Bible study. When he said many will go down that wide path, right? I'm paraphrasing. That will lead to destruction. Many will choose to reject God's true word, and they will burn in hell. It's just reality. I am not God. So all I'll do is preach what God places on my heart. You do whatever you want with it. Because Jonathan Ritter, when he goes home, he's going to heaven. And I'm going to be with my Father and those in the faith that pass before me. So, I'm not probably going to get through all these points today. I'm probably that last point that I'm going to mention. I'll probably break that down and just preach on that separate. Because we're already at 40 minutes. And that was the intro. So, the points here is, I'll lay them out. We can draw that our strength comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. We can draw that our strength comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. Second is, we can draw that our faith comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. And the last one, we can draw from the spirit of fear that is from Satan and not from God. So when we look at that first point, we can draw that our strength does not come from ourselves, right? It comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. Now when we look at this historical account, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can see their strength. And I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Be careful, King. We're going to tell you exactly what's on our mind. Were they operating in their own strength? No. Their strength did not come from them. It came from the Lord. The strength is divine. You as a child of God, you have this strength. The question is, are you in the way? And you need to get out of the way. Stop fighting God. Submit to God. Surrender and humble yourself to Him. Learn from Him. These trials and challenges in this life is a growth experience. They will hurt. But you may hear some say, you know, some may say, well, that was the God of the Old Testament, and I serve the God of the New Testament, so my God will not ask me to suffer in that way. I want to tell you that you have distorted the Scriptures. God is the same God of the Old Testament. He is the same God of the New Testament. Malachi 3:6. And guys, I'll lean heavy on Scripture. I preach. I know it's not popular, but it's all right. They'll get over it, or they just don't hear me preach. That's fine. I lean heavy on Scripture. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Hebrews 3, that is the Old Testament. You go to here to the New Testament. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy." John 14:9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long time with you?" He's speaking of Philip here. "Yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me," Jesus saying, "Here I am, Philip." Jesus Christ is speaking to him. "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." He is saying, Him and the Father are the same. "And how say you then, show us the Father?" He said, "Why are you asking? I'm with you. I am here with you." 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, whom are all things, and we in Him." The one is pointing, Lord Jesus Christ. When you see Lord Jesus Christ, is pointing to that divine nature of God. He is God, by whom are all things, we by Him. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking the Spirit of God calls Jesus accused, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." This is pointing to Jesus Christ, guys. He is the Father. Of course, I could provide scripture upon scripture. The Bible screams this is the divine nature of Jesus Christ, that He is God and He is the Holy Spirit. And can we truly explain how all this works? No, but I am not God, so my mind is limited. He is unlimited. How does all this work? We try to explain it. In reality, we'll always have problems explaining the triunion nature of God. We try. But we'll find out a lot of times we're trying to play God, and we'll get ourselves in all kind of problems. I want to tell you that we will never have all the answers while we are on this earth in our fleshly body, with our corrupt body. But we got enough answers to many questions that makes better sense than what the world can offer. The world will tell you they can offer you better answers than through the Word of God. I will tell you, when you look at stuff, you know they don't. Why? Because this world will lie to you, because this is Satan's world. And you can draw that from several passages. Matthew 4 is one I love to point to, when Satan is tempting Jesus Christ, and he takes him up and he shows him, he said, I can give you all these kingdoms. And that's showing that he is the God of this world. And he can take Google God of this world, he is Satan, the God of this world, and he can go through passages in the Bible where it's pointing to that. And Jesus is very clear, and through the epistles, you can see that God has clearly shown us who is the God of this world. And I will tell you that we got enough answers to our questions, more than what this world can provide us. Because this world is Satan's world, and he is a father of lies. Just one quick example, take evolution. Now, in a simple form, and if you won't ever go deeper into this, you can email me or you can Facebook me. The simple form, though, is evolution tells us that everything came from nothing. That is, how does that even make sense? Can you show me one example in real life, in my lifetime, where there's nothing that came from nothing? Everything has a origin. When you look at a TV, and just really simple TV, we never assume that a TV came from nothing. We know there was a creator, as there is the divine creator of everything. He created the human race. And of course, I could go really deep in this, but you say, well, that makes sense. How can nothing come from nothing? It's called spontaneous regeneration. That's what the term is. And the science community, the secular science community, don't believe in spontaneous generation, but they do obviously in one, or spontaneous regeneration, I think. They obviously believe it in one account, because they believe that this world happened from nothing. They have to violate their own ungodly principles to validate their God of this world. They don't like that. They're hoping you don't study. They're hoping you don't read. But here's the question. Even though we can prove that evolution, that a divine creator is more accurate and more it makes better sense than evolution, why is it taught in the majority of our public schools today? The fact is maybe indirectly, and I like to try to be as optimistic as possible here, but it could be possibly directly, they're brainwashing our kids to believe in their God of this world, Satan. A God of this world that tells them, if it feels good, do it. We're mere animals. Sex is not defined. Pronouns are not important. All against God's word. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Don't think sex within its contents is in marriage. Anything away from that is against God's nature. You won't even probably hear that in most churches preaching today, because the churches, especially here in America, looks more like the world then they look like the true church that God has established through Acts. But the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. And we will go through things, trials and challenges in this life. But the thing is, if you are a child of God, we can take comfort in Scripture. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye, as you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We will experience trials in this life. We will experience challenges in this life. But the Word of God tells us, be of good cheer. He doesn't say, be down and depressed. No, be of good cheer. Why? He says, I, here speaking of Jesus Christ, He will help us to overcome those tribulations, those trials that we face in this life. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. That's our enemies, right? For the Lord thy God, He it is that do go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor He will not forsake thee. Oh, He will not. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. And that is just confirming here Deuteronomy 31:6. Because why? The Bible, the Old and New together, is the message of salvation, not just the New Testament, the Old Testament too. To understand salvation, you have to start with Genesis and work your way to Revelations. And the end of Revelations is that's the final part of Revelations, that very end when He comes back for us. Psalms 27:1-3 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me and eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fall. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, in this I will be confident. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thank you, God. Psalms 18:1-2 says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, He is. The Lord is my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In Him I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my tower. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not amazed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee for the right hand of my righteousness. Jeremiah 32:17, O Lord God, behold, I have made the heaven and the earth by the great power. You stretch out your arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Habakkuk, H-A-P-A-K-K-E-K. I always have a hard time pronouncing that. 3:19 says, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hindered feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my strings and instruments. Zechariah 4:6, and he answered and said, spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord upon Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. John 14:16-18 said, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it see him not. Why? Because the world cannot see, because it's under God, under Satan's blinds. God can break those blinds, though. He said, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwell with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 15:26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father in the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, that have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Not think, because you are a child of God, that you will not touch by the flames of this life. That's one of the greatest lies of those wanting to bring in new covenants to Christianity. They want to try to paint this beautiful picture. Warn them of the cost. Warn them that yes, salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-10. Don't forget 10, because when we're in Christ, he has a ministry for us. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. And then it goes about works that we are given to do. But you know, it is a free gift, but the life that we have to walk in as children can cost us everything. And when we come to Christ, we have to count the cost. We have to realize that we may have to experience suffering for the name of Christ, on top of just the suffering of living in a cursed world that we are all partakers of, because this is a cursed world. Genesis 1:2-3 gives you the historical account. Read those chapters. Memorize those chapters. They are important as a lot of other parts in the Bible. But that tells us the fall of man. We live in a cursed world, so we get sick. We will experience pain. We lose loved ones. Things break. We will feel the flames, just not of the normal things that all of us will experience. But also we can experience the flames of following Jesus. And you may never have to experience the physical threat of death one day. That could change. I want to tell you, our brothers and sisters in other countries truly being persecuted for their faith, losing their freedom, even their lives. Don't think that can't happen here in America. Fast and quick and overnight. I preach on, I warn. I'm look like a madman how much I warn. But if we don't change our direction here in America, it will fall, the church. And when it does, it's gonna be devastating. And we have to have this mindset. Just not for if America falls, which is on its present course, is on that cliff. Only God can pull it. But we keep thumbing our noses up to God, as we do here. We keep grieving the Holy Spirit in our churches. You're looking at your watches. Oh, he just preached 1 hour. I'm almost on 1 hour, so I'd have been kicked out of most churches here in our area because I've just went too long. With that mindset, we ain't, God is getting tired of it. This mindset of, I'm going to go out there and do whatever I feel like doing. I don't care what the Word of God says. I want to sin. If I want to have sex with somebody that I'm not married to, I'm going to do it. If I want to watch that show that has pornography in it, I'm going to do it. I do not want to be restrained by this history, Christianity, that I was taught. I want to do my own way. The new age, the hip Christianity, which is demonic. Do what thou will and still get heaven. No, you will get hell. This preacher will not tell you otherwise. You have many other that will. But you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had this comfort. It didn't say they were hesitant. They stood on for what they believed. And we need to be that way. We need to stand on what we believe. And do not let this world tell us otherwise. Even though it may make us uncomfortable. I'm pretty sure Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was a little uncomfortable. Because you're about to die. You're about to be burned alive. I know I'd be feeling very uncomfortable. And I pray that, Lord, at that moment, the Holy Spirit just takes over. Because I won't get on fear till probably next week. But I can let that spirit of fear creep in quickly. That's why I strive to walk more in the spirit, less in the flesh. I can get in the flesh quickly. I promise you. Jonathan Ritter can stray off path very fastly. But thank God, the correction of the Holy Ghost to get me back on that path. Because I'm listening. I realize my nature. But they knew where they stood, as we should. They knew where their strength was coming from. And that's the mindset that we need to have during the trials that we may be going through right now. We need to understand God tells us that this life will not be a bed of roses. This life will not be a bed of roses. I know today's popular Christian motivational preaching from Stephen Furtick to a bunch of them yahoos that are with millions of following them and giving, just writing them check and making them rich. They that's what they want to tell you. You can be a god. This life is going to be a bed of roses. God wants you to have your best life now. I want to tell you, in God's words, it doesn't say that this life will ever be a bed of roses, never. But He does tell us that He will give us strength to endure whatever life throws at us. And if we are struggling with this, this can mean two things. If you're struggling with, you want a life that is perfect, you don't want to be uncomfortable, this can mean several things. This can mean that you're not even a child of God. Are you in the way? And if you're not, I want to tell you, if you have any questions about salvation, go hit that last sermon last week and go into salvation, and I got other messages on here you can go about salvation. It's no joke. If you die tonight, where are you going? There's only one or two places, heaven or hell. And if you're on the way, meaning you're trying to figure it out, stop. Give it to God through prayer. Give it to God through fasting. Give it, God, to your daily studying of His Word, memorization, and devotions. Being in God's Word and that physical fellowship with your true brothers and sisters is a comfort in handling that. And dealing with the things in life is strength to have your brother or sister to cling to and pray for you. And the last point I was going to be able to get to that third point because we already hit an hour. But the last point here is we can draw that our faith comes from the Lord when we're going through trials. We can draw that our faith is coming from the Lord. In Daniel 6, not Daniel 6. I don't know why I wrote Daniel 6 there. Daniel 3. Verse 16 through 18. Says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. They said, we are not careful to answer. In this matter, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known of thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image thou hast set up. What faith, right? Faith. They have faith in God. They knew if God did not deliver them from that physical death, that they're okay with that because they will get to go home. This flesh will burn. But then they get to go home. Regardless if they die physically, they knew they were not going to die spiritually. God gets the glory. When we look at faith, you know, we can really try to make faith, you know, complex and trying to understand. And it can be on certain points, but faith in its concept is, to me, easy. Harder to practice, not because of God, because of Jonathan Ritter, and maybe you can relate. I like to get in the way. I'm learning how to get out of the way. I'm still learning. Maybe you are still learning. You will see these the Word of Faith movement. Those that Benny Hinn and Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Steve Furtick. They distort the word of faith so they can profit in this world. These guys, they are loaded with money. You might say, there is nothing wrong with having money. No, there is nothing wrong with having money. It's when the money has a hold on you. You will find out in the future, I believe, one day when they are painted in a corner. It'll be a little bit more explicit in a sense of what are their take on homosexuality. Most of them will bounce around that as much as they can because they know in the end what God's word says about homosexuality. He is very explicit in a marriage between a man and a woman. That one they're not going to distort. They'll probably try. But the Word of Faith movement is centered on what can God give me? My faith. Me, I. God should be serving me. I shouldn't be serving God. I am going to command God to do this. You ain't going to command God to do nothing. that He hasn't already decided for you. We humble ourselves for a holy and righteous God in humility. And of course we ask in humbleness and humility for things. And if we're in God's words and we're seeking Him, we truly will not be looking for all the material things that make us happy. You look at these people like Steve Furtick that has these mansions. And you go and you compare what Jesus has said in multiple passages in the Bible. It's just the ignorance of people not studying God's word. If they truly would study God's word, they would be able to see these guys for who they are. Jesus said, the foxes have holes. The fowls of the air have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He was homeless. Old Steve Furtick, big mansion, nice cars. If God removed all that, he's not even in the faith. He would fold over so fast it was even funny. No, if he doesn't repent of his ways, he will experience eternal damnation. When we look at faith, we can go straight to scriptures. We don't have to listen to these guys that are distorting God's word, Hebrews, and taking one passage and distorting it. We look at where is faith defined. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? Jesus Christ. The evidence of things not seen. Well, we did not physically see Jesus Christ get crucified. We were not there. We didn't physically see Jesus Christ rise from the dead. But we believe. If you truly are His, you do. Romans 8:24-25 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what man sees, why do he hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we patiently wait for it. Hope in Jesus Christ. Our hope is placed in that confident expectation on whatever we are going through. God is going to be there for us. Why? Because we have believed on the only name that matters, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. We believe in that birth. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in His resurrection. And we believe that He is coming back for us, and the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He fills our life. He gives us that confidence. He gives us that strength to compress on. The most important thing to understand, faith, is that saving faith. Are you saved in Christ? Without that, without faith, none of us will see God. It's that faith, that saving faith, that we center on the holiness and the righteousness of God. We recognize our sinful nature before a holy God. We are not okay with that. Our plans in this life doesn't mean nothing if they do not line up with God's word. I pray that your plans line up with what God has for you, not what you think you should have. Do you recognize? If my way doesn't lead to your way, God, I won't have nothing to do with it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had this mindset. Your way, Yahweh. Elohim, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God that sees all, that knows all. You have your way, God. We know that you're sovereign. Your will be done. If you choose for us to burn in this fire, we will take it, because we know that our time now is you ready. You have called. You want us to come home, so we are. Oh, how we should feel that way. Oh, how we should be persevering in our life to walk the way that God has has laid out in scriptures, and oh, how we as American churches, we don't want to hear these messages because we don't hear about holiness. We don't hear about righteousness. We don't want to hear about counting the cost. We don't want to hear about grieving the Holy Spirit, because we are already chose. The God that we want to serve is not the God of the Bible. It's the God of this world, which is Satan. In Hebrews 11, there's so much, and I'm not going to read all of that, because it'll end up, this will be a 2-hour long sermon, and it'll be hard to download it. But here's the thing, guys. Hebrews 11, let me just hit on 6 in Hebrews. It says, but with faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God without faith. For he that come to God must believe that He is. Here is pointing to faith. It is pointing to a saving faith. Not the distortion faith that Steve Furtick and them in the Word Faith movement. What you got to say, what does faith? What does the scripture speak? It speaks first of this saving faith. He said, without faith is impossible to please Him. For he that come to God must believe that He is. Believe that He is. Believe that He is the Son of God. Believe that He is still the God of the God of the Old Testament is the New Testament. A God who calls us from our sin to live a life separate from this world, to count the cost, to go out there and to be a light to those in the community, to be able to be with our brothers and sisters and yearn to have that fellowship with them. And He says, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. Why? Because we're diligently seeking Him through the Word of God. He will reward us in not a way that these heretics want to view it as in, oh, He's going to give you that nice house, He's going to give you that nice car. Any of those things that He gives you, if He does provide you a nice home, have Bible studies in it. If He does provide you with a nice car, go pick somebody up that don't have a car to drive them somewhere. Use that for His glory. But I want to tell you, we use these things that God has given us, and He has given it to us, and we abuse it. And the Steve Furticks of the world, they know that the selfishness, because they are operating in that selfishness. The Benny Hinn's of the world, they're operating in that selfishness. The Kenny Copeland's of the world are operating in that selfishness. And the list goes on and on and on and on, guys. But that saving faith leads to an active faith. I hope you get this. Faith is a, for by faith, or is, let me, I kind of went blank. Hold on, let me flip over to it. For by grace we're saved through faith. There it is. For by grace through faith we are saved. It's the faith in the grace and the mercy seen at the cross. To me, that's the most important part of faith. Now, there's this act of faith. Meaning, once you are a child of God, you are now have this act of faith. That when you're going through the highs and the lows, and we're centering on those trials, you have a realistic view. You're not going to say, well, God don't love me because I got cancer. I'm not saying God can't heal that. He is God. This is why I say, if He doesn't heal it in this lifetime, He will heal it in the next if you're His. A lot of people, the Benny Hinn's of the world, you don't ever see them going into hospitals and healing. It's always in their churches. And Benny Hinn's been investigated for staging healings, but he's still making money. That just shows you how well the devil has his muddy claws in the church. We're not going to get to the third point here. I'm going to write it, save this for next week, Lord willing. The key passage, of course, will be in 1 Thessalonians 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. And we'll talk about that next week. In closing, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were facing this fiery furnace. Their ultimate death, being burned alive. You and I may never experience that level of possible physical death here in America. I'm saying maybe. We may not. There's a real chance that our freedom, especially preachers like me, majority of them will cave and compromise who they are in Christ, because they were never in Christ in the first place. Or they'll just retire and get out of it because it just got real for them. And what you're seeing, a lot of that, you're seeing a lot of churches without pastors because it's getting real out there. And the sad thing is those that the pastor leaves, they try to find somebody that is going to replace that pastor that is has compromised. And then they find somebody that is on fire for God, preaching God. And they're like, oh, we don't want that guy. We're looking for a specific person to fill our pulpits. Well, you keep doing that. You're not looking for the qualifications of a man of God on fire for God. Then your doors need to close. I don't feel sorry for you. I feel no pity for you. God places somebody in your position or in your path that's on fire for God, that is clinging to Scripture and is not going to compromise. For instance, preach as long as the Holy Spirit leads. That right there will rub people so raw it's not even funny. I have not been invited to churches that I preach at because I'm considered long-winded. I'm going to tell you, I'm not long-winded enough. Because the lackadaisical of God's word, somebody that's concerned about a preacher's length, is just a clear sign of exactly how they're living their lives. And to me, that's also an indication their heart position is not correct. And I pray to God they are saved. Hard for me to believe somebody, the hearing a man preach through God's word on fire for it won't exhilarate them. Instead, it makes them angry. The Holy Spirit is not moving through them. And if the Holy Spirit's not moving through them, the Holy Spirit's probably not there. And the Holy Spirit's not there, just my conclusion would be they're not even saved. Hebrews 12, right? He corrects, he chastens. He can chasten through a man of God preaching God's word. But when we look at Shadrach, Meshach, they're facing their physical death. They did not lose their strength. They did not lose their faith. No, they stood straight up. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar and their enemies, their physical enemies, and they were literally looking at the spirit. When they were looking at Nebuchadnezzar, the spiritual enemies were there too, watching them. They told them, if God does not deliver us from this fiery furnace, that will be okay. But we will not bow to your gods or your image ever. Did they do this in their own strength? No. Their strength came from the strength of God. And we have that same strength today if we're in Christ. You see, the same God that they serve is the same God we serve. If you're a child of God, we see we get ourselves in a lot of troubles because we're trying to figure this life out on our own strength. And we, if You're trying to figure this, do this on your own strength. I can speak personally. You will have problems. It's like hitting the wall over and over and over again. You see that commercial where I ain't seen it in a while, but the bird flies into the window and then gets back up and flies back into the window and then gets up and flies back into the window. You ain't doing nothing. You're going to break your neck. But when we recognize where our strength comes from, we recognize that it's the power of God that gives us strength to endure the things of this world, the trials of this world. Our eyes start getting fixated on our strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. And because we draw that strength, that strengthens our faith. And that faith and that strength in combination is powerful. It's that perseverance. I will keep pressing on regardless of what's going on in my life. This everything around me is not making no sense. But I am going to press on because when I know God has a plan for my life. And it's not the Joel Osteen sermon. If it means that I must be cast into a literal fire pit and burn, that is His plan. I accept it. Does it mean that I may lose my freedom and go to jail? I accept that. Oh, does it mean that I have to be uncomfortable? I accept that. Does it mean that I may lose those around me that have compromised to the gospel and I'm losing my friends and possibly my family? I accept that. I've counted the cost. I am all in. I'm not faking it no more. I'm all in. I'm pressing on. Oh, let my faith just be persistent. Faith is the centerpiece of a child of God's life. It is impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's that saving faith, guys. Not the distortion of how this world wants to put faith. It's a saving faith that is key and critical than anything else. To know that you are a child of God and know that even though my things in my life are not looking good and I don't understand God because, you know, I wish He wasn't like this and I wish I wasn't going through this thing, but God, Your will be done. I will keep pressing on. I will still keep moving toward that, to that end game, to that final destination, where You will truly take care of everything. When my life is called at the end of the night or end of the day, or if I get an accident, I'm immediately taken out of this life. I am the presence of the Lord forever, and everything else in this life, it will seem like a dot compared to eternity. I want to say, guys, with this is, where do you draw your strength from? The world, the Lord, where you're going through trials. Are you truly His? Have you truly placed your faith in Jesus Christ? If you have any doubts on that, send me an email. Facebook me. That saving faith is important. Doubting is not good. I plead we do not leave here in this podcast without going back over the scriptures we talked about. I pray that you're all in. I pray that you do not fall in these categories that I've spoken of that go against God's word. If you do, this is God calling you away from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that whoever may be hearing this, it stirs something in their soul to go back over this and just write the scriptures down for themselves. Because I know the Holy Spirit is the ultimate convictor. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate preacher and teacher. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate guide. Without the Holy Spirit beating that heart, softening that heart to this message, that person will not receive this message. God, I pray that if they're feeling led to reach out to me, that they do. God, I pray as we finish this day out and or start our new day, wherever who is listening at this message at this time, that we center our life and faith in you and realize that our strength does not come from ourselves, but the one true living God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a blessed rest of the day.